You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Christmas? Come on. Hope you had a good weekend. Yeah. And that Santa's, that Santa's ready. I got an update of story. So, I've had a few people say, what happened relative to your little project to seal up your house? Yeah, and I had a number of people, give me good advice on how to do that. So, let me tell you what happened. So, I got the boxes, I got one box for the sliding doors on Friday. So really, it's nothing. It's two-sided tape in a box, and then there's a sheet of this Saran wrap kind of stuff. But it's probably stronger than Saran wrap, just for the record. Yeah, it's a little bit more than Saran wrap. So Kathleen would have said, "Geez, Michael, that looks like Saran wrap." It is, Mom, for windows. So anyway, I got it out, and I kind of figured it out pretty easy. You have the hardest thing is kind of the taping that you do, and you have to make sure that you can get around the rectangle where the air is coming through. That was the deal, and I'll tell you, I had a little bit of an epiphany when I was doing it, as I could see the air coming through the window. Yeah. So anyway, you have this. So you apply the tape. Now think about your window. Think about your sliding door. There's the rectangle, and it sits inside of that, right? Right. Okay. And so So then what you do is on the very outside of that, the part of the metal frame that you know window cannot, air cannot get through, you know, you can't, air simply cannot get through it, right? Okay, so you've got to put the tape on that surface.
Yeah.
That's the trick. That's the trick to the trick. The and so the once you do that, then you get this sheet out and you unfold it, and you unfold it, and then you unfold it again. And so so then you take it and you tack it along the top, you know, line, and then you go down the sides, and then you trim, you know, then you trim around it. So you go like north to south, right? Which I did. And then as I was getting ready to do the bottom, and the bottom's kind of tricky because it's where the carpet joins the, right, in my house anyway, there's not, it's not hardwood floor, so it's a little bit tricky because you don't have that much of the lip to work with. So anyway, but you figure that out, right? But as I'm getting ready to do that, you can see kind of that cellophane, you know, moving as the cold air moves to the door, and that's the only place for it to escape. And I sat there and watched it, and I was like, well, you don't think. Well, maybe only stupid people like me don't think that, but you don't realize how much actual air is getting into your house as that happens. And so, yeah, so I did the two sliding doors on Friday, and then on Saturday the other kits came, and so I did them, and it's noticeably different. I'm not going to lie to you. Now that I don't have cold air being pumped into my house all the time, noticeably different. I would recommend it. And you know what? The whole thing cost me like $30. So that was my, that was one of my projects over the weekend. The and so and then Colleen and I hung out a little bit, and I did a little cleaning, and I watched a little football, and so yeah, that was my weekend. That was my weekend. Sort of our whole family will reassemble after Christmas. So that's pretty exciting. You know, once your kids get older and they kind of scatter, they're all going to be in one spot for a few days with their fiancés and their wives and my grandson. So, so that's so I think we're going to have a softball game. Now I don't know if the weather is going to I don't know if the weather is going to cooperate. Right. And so we'll see, but that's exciting. And so still doing Christmas shopping and coordinating, getting ready for that. So that's exciting. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. I don't exactly feel like working and doing this show today, but I feel an obligation to do it, right? Yeah, I do. And so anyhow, we're just going to catch up with some people. Yeah. And I'll do a little bit. I'll do some news headlines, but at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Sergeant Parker, who you met. I met him doing post-traumatic winning. And he had seen post-traumatic winning. And his father, about 90 days after he had seen it, his father took his own life. And so he had to put what he had learned in that class that he didn't want to go to. he had to put it to use. And so I met him in August. He walked up to me and he told me his story and thanked me for doing it. And so you're going to meet him. So we'll see what Parker's doing. He's actually, I think, going to do some shooting. He's a competitive shooter. So we'll talk to him about that. And then I want you to hear from Matt Kiker. I don't know if you remember Matt, but Matt, when I met him a year ago, was not doing very well. And he just got out of the Marine Corps last Friday. So I just happened to shoot him a text, and he said, "I'm driving home, man. I'm out." And he's on terminal leave. So I called him, and he's happy. He's a happy dude, man. So that made me feel good. So you'll hear from him hopefully tomorrow. So you hear from Parker at 8:30 for about 15 minutes, and then after that, what you'll hear is at about 9:05, Chris Cox, our weight specialist, is going to come on. Somebody sent me an email and said, "Hey, how does Chris deal with the holidays?" So we're going to talk to Chris about that. And then after that, you're going to hear from Andy Milburn, Colonel of the United States Marine Corps, retired, who's written a book called When the Tempest Forms. So we're going to talk about his book. So if you're still looking for a gift idea, maybe, you know, you might want to check out Andy's book. So anyway, we'll talk to Andy about his book and Christmas and whatnot. So anyway, it should be a fun day. And we'll do the same thing tomorrow. And do a best of edition on Christmas, and I'm not sure about the 26th and 27th. Probably similar kind of shows. Not too much serious as we head towards the new year. Take a little break, but nonetheless here because our friends are here. So anyway, a very good morning to you on a Monday. Merry Christmas to everybody, and happy holidays to everybody else. So. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this official. We're gonna catch up with some friends here this morning, which is always cool. So good morning to you. Dedicated to everybody having a good Christmas. So wherever you are around the world, if you're listening to this, I hope you have a good Christmas. If you're off on your own, deployed someplace, just know that you're in our thoughts and prayers. If you're at home with your family, do the best you can, especially when your extended family gets together. Be nice to everybody. And the people you don't get along with, keep a safe distance from them and be nice to them too. Don't talk politics and enjoy the time. All right, enjoy the time. So this is dedicated to that thought.
Our flag comes through. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
It's that winning thing. It just keeps coming up over and over and over and over. Yeah. All right, we'll check the weather around Marineland. Currently, it is partly sunny and 38 degrees in Quantico. It is raining and 55 at Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune. It is partly sunny and 47 at 29 Palms. It is raining at Camp Pendleton and 50. Marine Corps Base. Holland M. Smith, whose voice we heard last week, right? In Hawaii. Dark cloudy 68. Okinawa's cooled off a little bit. Dark clear in 63. Further to the west in Afghanistan, it is clear dark in 46, so Afghanistan stays cold in the Helmand province. And in the Al Anbar province, it is clear dark in 54, so Iraq stays cold as well. In the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is raining right now. And 54 degrees. The wind chill sits at 50. Yikes. Looking for a high of 60 degrees today. 61 tomorrow with partly sunny skies. Rain on Wednesday and 57. So, got that going for you. Anyway, that's a look at your weather. When we come back, we'll check a few news headlines, and then we'll talk to Sergeant Parker. Yeah. He's a MARSOC dude, so we can't say his last name. Hope you're having a good day. And more of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it. The one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk in to a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made. Of this heartbreak, I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally.
We should catch up with Peyton, too. I got to send her a message. But she's famous for sending a message, and then you text back, and you don't hear from her. Yeah, I'm not sure what it's about, but I'll get to the bottom of it. Probably the biggest story over it broke like on Friday, and that was West Point and the Naval Academy both concluded, as Ohio Man predicted, that the game that got played was a game that you look at the OK sign. That's the game that they were playing. Now, I have this to say about that. I don't think it's a bad lesson. First of all, much relieved. Okay, but I'm bothered, and I have been for years, over the kind of cavalier attitude that people have relative to their commissions, relative to service, like I can do this like it's some other job. You can't, right? More is expected, and more, you know, is expected from your conduct in public. And so I don't think, although unfair, when you live in an elevated status relative to the rest of your community, it's not a bad lesson to learn. And, you get taught about the visibility that you will have for the rest of your life, being a member of a very special class of people, you know, as a member of United States Naval Academy class or the West Point class or whatever it is. And, And so it's not a bad lesson. So I'm trying to get Ohio Man to come on and explain to us what this game is, okay? So anyway, I haven't heard back from him yet this morning. So hopefully, maybe you'll hear him tomorrow. So, but again, I mean, the headline, is simply that the that good things happen. the good things happened, and it wasn't what people thought it was. Now again, forgive me, but again, I think we all saw the picture of, you know, the West Point cadet with a Che Guevara t-shirt on. So it's not like this stuff is out of the ordinary or hadn't happened or is without precedent. So anyway, so again, we'll get Ohio Man, but that there's a couple other stories, and real quick before Sergeant Parker comes on, the chairman, the story about 3rd Battalion, 6th Marines at Camp Lejeune, lost two rifles. And, yeah. And so, anyway, they, as you might expect, well, what do you do in Marine Corps? You were in the field, right? You're doing training and you lose two rifles. Well, what happened? Where did they go? It was just us out there. Where the fuck could those things have gone? Well, they sent everybody back out. Well, no shit, man. That's what you do. And then then you start reading news articles about, oh, how, you know, how unfair this is and blah, 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 blah. And you just sit there and you're like, so you think that it's okay to go to the field to lose rifles and somebody's body armor, and then we're just going to go, everybody's going to come home and, you know, go. That's not how it's ever worked. So to me, it's just this cavalier attitude of those things that are serious that is, to me, I don't want to say maddening, because, you know, but it's just, at some point, somebody's going to get their head kicked in. The couple other stories about the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, the article's entitled, U.S. Troops Have Not Died in Vain in Afghanistan, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs says. Quote, I don't think anyone has died in vain, said General Mark Milley. I could not look myself in the mirror. I couldn't answer myself at 2 or 3 in the morning when my eyes pop open and see the dead roll in front of my eyes. Milley said claims there have been some kind of coordinated lie over the past 18 years about the state of the war in Afghanistan is a mischaracterization. The top military commander told reporters that during his time in Afghanistan, he gave honest assessments on the facts at the time. Secretary of Defense Mark Esper echoed Milley's sentiment. It's not like this war was hiding somewhere. The insinuation that there's been a large-scale conspiracy is, to me, just ridiculous. History will continue to evaluate the war, Esper said. So that's a pretty interesting story that's out there. And then there's one other one. There's two other stories. This study suggests troops are paid too much. Right. Now, I mean, just about everybody's married. Many of them are married. So what is the DOD getting, right, for all that money? Next, Pentagon is ordered to turn over documents cited in the decision to ban transgender service members. So now we're going to fight this fight again. Okay, remember, you may not be successful the first 7 times. All you got to do is be successful once. Okay, it's your right. It's your right to serve, right? It doesn't matter if what you're going through in your personal life makes you non-deployable, right? None of that matters. All that matters is that it's your right to serve. So anyway, all right. So let me. We're gonna get Sergeant Parker on. All right. We're gonna find out what he's doing today. So.
Hello.
All right, don't say anything crazy because you're on the radio, all right?
All right.
All right, first of all, Merry Christmas. How are you?
Good. Yourself? How you doing?
I'm all right. Now, everybody remembers Sergeant Parker. He's our favorite Marine sergeant in the Marine Corps. And so bring us up to snuff, man. The last time we talked to you, you were headed to the MARSOC world. Are you still there? How's life?
Can't really comment on that, but doing pretty good.
All right. So life is pretty good. What are you doing for Christmas?
Just hanging out, visiting a few buddies around the area. Nothing too crazy.
All right. So you're off to do some shooting today, yes?
Yeah, just going to the range.
All right. So I just found this out yesterday, but. You're a decent shot with both rifle and pistol, or are you better with pistol?
I think I'm pretty good with both. Honestly, I lean more towards rifle most of the time.
Really? And that's because you grew up shooting?
Yeah.
Favorite model of a rifle to shoot is?
I'd have to go with anything lever action. There's just something about a lever action.
Lever action, spoken like a son of Idaho. What the hell, man?
Yeah, pretty much.
So you grew up shooting lever action rifles?
Yeah, I grew up on mostly lever actions and bolt actions. I didn't actually shoot a semi-auto pistol or a rifle until I was probably in high school.
Wow. So like old West lever action rifles?
Yeah, got a couple, like, Model 1895. I think it's a Winchester and, like, a Model 1896 Marlin, 30-30, 30-40, stuff like that.
Holy smokes. That's awesome. Those are beautiful rifles, too, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely gorgeous, yeah. Some of mine have octagon barrels, you know, just the works.
All right, let's talk about pistol shooting. What did you start shooting when you were – how could you start pistol shooting at the age of 4?
22s and desert rats for targets.
Come on, man. You're still sucking on a pacifier at the age of 4, and you got a pistol in your other hand?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so what your favorite pistol to shoot is?
Glocks. Anything Glock.
Anything Glock?
Yeah.
Why?
Just the it's so simplistic. I mean, you can't get better than a Glock. The phrase Glock perfection really is true. I mean, I've shot everything from, you know, a bunch of different revolvers, 1911s, Berettas, most pistols out there. And honestly, the simplicity of a Glock and just the way it's designed, I mean, it's always going to shoot. You can't beat it.
Is it the lower silhouette that, I mean, when you look at that thing relative to somebody's hands, you see how low it sits in their hand. Put your finger on why it feels so good to shoot.
Honestly, I would say because, you know, I've got bigger hands, and anything like Glock 45 or the Glock 17, anything with the model that has that full size lower, it's just real nice, because even the Glock 19s, you can still fit your whole hand around it.
Right.
And there's just something about it, like there's no safety, all the safeties are internal, so it's just a very simplistic, there's nothing too crazy going on the outside of the pistol. And I don't know, just the way that my hands grip on it, you can get a much tighter grip on there than I think on most 1911s that I've handled.
Got it. What about ammunition?
Ammunition? Hell, best type of ammo is free ammo, you know what I mean? Anything you can get your hands on.
There you go, enough said. Do you teach people how to shoot?
Back home, I'll take a few buddies out, and if they're not that experienced, yeah, I'll show them what's up. But you know, most of the time I just go out here with some of my friends and we just refine each other's techniques. Nothing too crazy.
Got it. From a retired Marine in Montana, tell him to try a Walther. You ever shot him?
Yeah, Walthers are really nice pistols. You know, obviously I'm a sergeant in the Marine Corps, so finances aren't all that readily available, but looking at getting one here in the next little while after an HK.
Oh, so you're not a tunned up motherfucker yet? So, like, to the retired Marine who's all got a shit ton of money, off me, dude? It is Christmas.
I mean, yeah,
it is.
Are nice, so I've shot a couple of them.
Would you take it over a Glock?
No, not yet. I'd have to shoot them quite a bit more to even comment on that. But Glock right now is my bread and butter.
Got it. Let me ask you a question about post-traumatic winning. You're going to go through your first Christmas without your dad.
His birthday was the 27th of this month, so that's, you know, a couple days after.
Well, that's fucking awesome. So there's a cherry on top. So how do you cope? What do you do? How are you dealing with that? And Parker, I ask you this because, I mean, you and I both know there's a lot of people that the holidays aren't the most pleasant experience. You know, everybody likes to watch, you know, all the great movies on TV and this warm Christmas, but sometimes the holidays aren't like that. This is going to be obviously different for you, the first Christmas after losing your dad. What are you doing? How are you dealing with it?
Honestly, I'm just trying to stay focused, and what that means is stay focused on bettering myself. So I'm just, you know, just going to hit the gym. I'm going to make sure that all my, you know, gear's prepped and clean from the field and ready to go back out again. You know, make sure, scrub my boots off. Like, I know it sounds stupid, but it's all those little tasks of, you know, cleaning my pistol, scrubbing my boots off, just hanging out with friends and not allowing yourself to be isolated from everyone. Because once you try and push yourself to the side and stop hanging out with people, and just feeling sorry for yourself, that's when everything kind of sets in. So you just got to push yourself out of your comfort zone and know that there are people there for you. And once you just accept that there's people there to hang out with and you just actually get outside and you don't shut yourself off, nothing's really that bad. And honestly, for me, like, yeah, the holidays suck when you're away from home and, you know, obviously can't be with the ones that you love. But, you know, for me, I just try not to listen to Christmas music, and I don't watch any fucking Christmas movies. I just watch normal shoot 'em up actions or comedies. Like, I don't know. For me, I kind of don't fully embrace the season, and then I just hang out with friends. There's not really a special answer to get over everything, but that's what's up to me.
Yeah, well, we all know that we all know you don't get over it. The now, as you describe, man, the facing movement to destructive behavior is isolation. And if you don't do that, if you accept it, if you'll accept the help of other people, sometimes that's hard because everybody's proud and everybody wants to fake it, right? Like, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, look, I ain't good. Okay. And I don't really want to fake it. I'd love to come and hang out with you because, you know, I'd like that. And so if you'll do those, if you'll take those small steps, you know, you can, my experience is most people can get through just about anything.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. Cause, you know, there's some days where you're just like you say, it's one of those bad days and you just have to accept it. And I'll just call up one of my buddies and be like, hey dude, this is not it. Not having a good time right now. You mind if I drive over? And he's like, yeah, no, dude, come on over. We'll just go over there. You don't even necessarily have to talk about it. Just shoot the shit about anything, hang out until you feel normal.
Right.
Then you can, you know, start talking about it, and then once you open up, you realize, well, fuck, I mean, it's really not even that bad, and then you just go, yeah, well, all right, whatever, I guess I'll head out, man, appreciate it.
I know I can say this. The normal inclination is to do what? Is to fake it, right? And that's why,
yeah.
You know, that's why the first commandment now, there's 10 commandments now, by the way, because the more I did this, the more a sub-commandment of you got to talk about it was don't fake it. And the more I did this, the more important that thing used to be as it jumped out. And so that's now the first commandment. Don't fake like you're okay when you're not. You don't need to, because other people are struggling too, and they want to help you. They will help you, but you got to give them the opportunity to help you. So, no, it's the isolation thing is huge. You know, actually the reason why I wanted to have you on was to talk about that, because you're a great walking, talking, living example, Parker, of doing this, man. And I'll tell you what, I'm really proud of you. I know other people that are really proud of you, because you're not afraid to say, hey, I'm not okay. And you're doing this. And so I just wanted to reach out to you, tell you you were in my thoughts, and have you come on and talk about this a little bit, because there's other people out there that deal with the same shit.
Yeah, no, 100%, and like it's just something that people have to realize. The second you start talking about it and you actually admit that there might be a problem and you're not feeling right, like that's when you can start to solve it. Because the more you fake it, and the more you lie to everybody else, it just pushes people away and they think you're okay. And then guess what? Now you don't have as tight of a support network as you would have.
Yeah. What's the most difficult thing for you this year? Just staying away from Christmas?
Kinda. Yeah. Just keeping myself busy, because for me, my mind is so active, and I think all the time that if I don't keep myself busy, it doesn't matter what I do, I'm just gonna start thinking about stuff. And so it's just about finding those little things you can do. To just kind of keep your mind off of it as much as you can. That it really helps me. Like I said, I just prep gear, you know, clean boots, clean guns, you know, sweep the floor, like anything. I just keep myself busy and then hang out with buddies.
Your place pretty clean?
Yeah, you could say that.
And you're headed out to shoot here in a couple minutes. So when you talk about shooting today, what are you talking about? You know, what kind of shooting do you do?
I'm just gonna go today and do just some drills with my. I've got a Glock 45, so it's a 9mm Glock with a 19 upper, 17 lower, and I'm just gonna put some rounds down range from 7, 10, 15, and 25 yards, just to work on the fundamentals of grip, draw, things of that nature, just to practice and keep it up. I'll probably end up putting 400 rounds through it.
Nice. What about are you gonna shoot in a competition?
Yeah, I've got a shoot that I signed up for on the 28th, so we'll see how that goes.
Nice. Well, we'll have to have you on after that to see if you're worth the shit or not.
Yeah, well, I've been told that the first time you go to like an actual shooting competition, the first time you should just accept that you're gonna not shoot all that well and just try and get the basics of it down, so then you can practice for the next one and you know what you're going into. So I'm trying to take that with a grain of salt.
Come on, man. That's not for people that had a pistol in their hands when they were 4 years old. Like, that's for guys like me who didn't grow up, who didn't shoot till they joined the Marine Corps. That applies to me. It doesn't apply to you. So if you go and blow it out your ass, expect to be ridiculed, okay? It's just for the record.
All right, yeah. Hey, I expect nothing less. You gotta hold me accountable.
Exactly, man. Like, only because you're like gifted shooter, man. You're that guy. So if you go to the range and then you like do your Mac impersonation, that ain't working for anybody. At least of all me. Just so you know, yeah. I'm just trying to keep it real, man.
Oh hell yeah! No, you got to.
All right, man. Look, I won't hold you up. I know you got shit to do. I just wanted to have you on, and again, there's no small number of people, you know, Parker, that deal with the same stuff you're dealing with, to include me. And the holidays aren't always the easiest time for all of us. And so I think your advice is really good. And in spite of your aversion to it, Merry Christmas to you, man. And I hope you have a good week. And we'll follow up and find out how you did in that shooting competition. And I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, thank you. Merry Christmas. You take it easy.
All right, bud. All right, take it easy. Thanks.
All right, bye.
There you have it. The one and only Parker. Living the dream. Kind of, sort of. Part nightmare, part not nightmare. The I got to do a little bit of shithole weather here. Yeah. As you might expect, I forgot. All right. Now, he's an awesome guy. And honestly, when I have younger guys that are struggling in North Carolina, guess who I call? Yeah, the man, the myth, the legend, Parker. And he rolls in on them. Yeah. This is from Chris, who's going to join us in about 20 minutes, in about 19 minutes. He's on the move today. He's in Auburn, Massachusetts, home of the Rockets. What are the Rockets? Robert Goddard launched the first modern liquid-fueled rocket at a location called Pachacog Hill. Kim Jong-un thanks him enormously. Current conditions are 37 degrees, looking for a high of 51. It's going to be sunny and clear all day. Winds are out of the west at 10. And a couple of nice pictures. And there's a marker of the first rocket launch. And then there's a shed with a bunch of water in front of it and a bunch of snow behind it. And the marker's off to the right of that in a big open field. Little history here with the weather update. I like it. From First Sergeant Wayne, 41 degrees in Hickory, North Carolina. Yep. And 100% chance of rain with a high of 51 degrees, overnight low of 48. That's not bad. 806 miles south of my hometown of Glen Falls, New York. Glen Falls is 41 miles from Mike Etor's hometown of Schenectady, New York. There you have it. And then Wayne always forgets the picture. There's a picture of wet streets and the Hickory Daily Record, which is the newspaper, I guess. From Big Dave in Vacaville. Good morning, Mac. Was down in your neck of the woods this past weekend. I caught the Chargers versus the Raiders. Chargers last game in their soccer state and the Raiders last game in California before moving to Vegas. I'll tell you what, your traffic down there is no joke. I don't know how you guys do it. Well, the way you do it is you don't, Dave. Figure it the fuck out, man. Did you see the World War One movie advertised in selective theaters? It got awesome reviews. It should be in your area soon. It's called 1917, which is the title of the email. I have not seen it, as a matter of fact, but I will. I've been told it's part movie, part video game, right? That the I won't say animated sequences, there's kind of sort of animated sequences, if that makes sense. All right, so you know how virtual thing, right? So anyway, the let's see, what else is going on? What else do I need to cover before? I can go back to news headlines now that I've done shithole weather. Noah, wait, Beb? Oh, this is from Beb. Didn't she said one? Good morning, Mac. Churchbridge is currently overcast, 18 degrees above zero, with winds at 7 out of the southeast. This afternoon will be mostly cloudy, 19 degrees above, with southeast winds at 12 miles an hour. Wishing you and your family a joyous Merry Christmas. And let's see. The picture is of the post office in Churchbridge. Canada Post. And then it says it in French. Of Churchbridge. Yeah. Got the Canadian flag and an apartment complex behind it. And a bulletin board out. The Lions Club has a bulletin board out by the street. Right next to the post office. So there you have it. Now, from Churchbridge. Saskatchewan. So the only person, Dave in Vacaville, he didn't give a weather update. He gave a traffic update. And then our Western Pennsylvania update is missing. Like, what in God's name is going on? So we'll catch up with that and find out what the hell is going on. Let's see. Let me do the top five stories in Early Bird. I think if you pull the string on the whole Afghanistan papers thing, right, one of the things you're going to find is this, right? So if you understand the background, it is a research project done by the DOD, okay? And that the Washington Post, I don't know if... I'll have to go back and read. But did the Washington Post, like, kind of make everybody think that these were things that they discovered, you know? And so their interviews trying to discover, like, what went wrong. So anyhow, these are private thoughts, and then they go back and they reconcile them with public statements and blah, blah, blah. Now, for those people that did not tell the truth or parse the truth or did not speak the truth in public and will tell you that they spoke the truth in private, I mean, there's a whole series of footnotes that goes with that stuff. And so, I mean, they have to be accountable for what they said. And so I think for a lot of people, there's required footnotes. But so to me, there's that discussion that goes on in when we talk about this kind of stuff about, you know, did you tell the truth? Did you tell a sanitized version of the truth, right? And so what was your, and so again, I have this whole grading thing that I want to do. Yeah. And I have people that argue this with me. And so I believe that if you were there, you have a greater obligation if you were there when the decision got made. Because once it's cast and once it's launched, that's a huge decision in world history. When the United States begins to use armed force. It's a gigantic decision. Now, the people that come behind, what's their job? Their job is to tell the truth. And can this get you there? And again, if you read Dereliction of Duty, you see that failure throughout. Now, does somebody's culpability, in my view of the world, okay, the people that are silent are most culpable, okay? And so hiding behind, if it's not immoral, unethical, or illegal, then it's my responsibility. Hiding behind that, to me, is a joke. You can certainly do that. And collect your pension and go on to work for companies and all the rest of that bullshit. Okay, but supposedly you took that oath, and this is the whole danger of what we promote in the military. If you don't promote enough people that will tell you the truth and will click off safe, then you get the bobblehead event. And I'll tell you, that's a problem. That is a problem. Make no mistake about it. You have guys who are conformists, and that's how they get to the top of that military ladder. They don't step out of line very often, and they don't step out of line and make mistakes. So their inclination is to cover down behind the person in front of them and not rock the boat. That's how they get there, because the boat rockers are gone at that level. Now, hopefully what you get is this measured, articulate person that isn't afraid to dissent. But I would tell you the problem, if you begin to reconcile the Afghanistan papers, quote unquote, if you will, and the real world, is that you need too many footnotes with too many people. Okay, so explain this statement to me. Explain this statement to me. Explain this statement. So you all of a sudden you're gathering all these footnotes. All these footnotes to explain what somebody said instead of the truth. Why is there this delta between what you said and what we know to be true on the ground? So anyway, that's my problem with it, okay? And so I have to do a little bit more refinement on my grading criteria. And then what I think I should do is grade every CENTCOM commander and every CENTCOM commander, and then every commander of ISAF, and then every chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I think those all get big grades. What did they say when they were there? How did that square with reality? Now, that's a pretty daunting project, okay? So I'm not going to be able to get to that. I've got some other things going on in my life. So I don't know how soon I'll be, but it will be a horizontal theme because I'm interested in it. And maybe it should be a series of shows that I do where we look at, here's what the situation was, here's what happened during their tenure, what grade would you assign them? Yeah. And so for me, Tommy Franks fails. Rumsfeld is an absolute failure. He's beyond a failure. He's the catalyst for much of this. Okay. His warped view of the world and his misinformed view of what the art of the possible was and how it would be achieved. Right? Much of what you see right now is the butcher bill for Don Rumsfeld. Yeah. So anyway, let me go through the top five stories in Early Bird. We'll take a break. Chris Cox is going to join us. We're going to talk about Chris has lost over 250 pounds. Okay. And so he's now our health advisor. That's right. So Chris from Webster. So anyway, we're going to talk to him in a few minutes. Holidays are coming up. Somebody sent me an email. Hey, man, how does Cox cope with this? So we're going to find out how Cox copes. So the next thing is, did I need? Okay, so we'll do that. But let me go through the top five stories in Early Bird. Number one, Pentagon finally gets its 2020 budget from Congress. All right. A $1.4 trillion spending bill finalized federal spending for 2020 and averted a government shutdown. The defense bill is $738 billion. How about that? Number two, Pentagon has screened every Saudi trainee in the U.S. Here's what they found. What did they find? No immediate threats were discovered, according to Defense Intelligence Gary Reed, who told reporters this in an interview last Thursday. But officials did not elaborate on whether the checks uncovered any information related to the shooting. So, almost 1,000 Saudis in the country? And you found nothing. The Pentagon screened all current international students using an expedited process that includes checks on government and commercial databases as well as publicly available activity like social media accounts. Those checks will continue for all current IMS students and for those who have been approved but who have yet to report, according to Reed. Well, let me ask you that. And let me ask you this. Did this guy post anything other than like minutes before he went out and did what he did? So is that even the appropriate criteria if that's the way you're going to screen? I don't know. I think that might be stupid. All right. Number three, U.S. probe of Saudi oil attack shows it came from the north. Well, that was the contention, right? This is from Reuters. The United States said new evidence and analysis of weapons debris recovered from an attack on the Saudi oil facility on September 14th indicates the strike likely came from the north, reinforcing its earlier assessment that Iran was behind the offensive. In an interim report of its investigation seen by Reuters ahead of a presentation on Thursday to the United Nations Security Council, Washington assessed that before hitting its targets, one of the drones traversed a location 200 kilometers northwest of the attack site. This is a combination with the assessed 900-kilometer maximum range of the UAV, indicates a high likelihood that the attack originated north of Abqaiq, A-B-Q-A-I-Q. It added the United States had identified several similarities between drones used in the raid and an Iranian-designed and produced unmanned aircraft known as the IRN-05 UAV. Quote, at this time, the U.S. intelligence community has not identified any information from the recovered weapon systems and weapon system used on the 14 September attacks on Saudi Arabia that definitively reveals an attack origin. So, that's number, what, three? Number four, Pentagon revolving door, three in, four out. Yeah, a whole host of undersecretaries of defense have resigned in the last 3 weeks. So, a lot of positions open. If you're looking for work, I'm not saying, I'm just saying. All right. Number five, nearly 60% of women experience stalking in the ranks, according to studies. You know, let me just ask a question. Is that a normal statistic when the organization that you've signed up to be a part of is 90% male? Is 80% male? I'd be curious to see, I mean, if you can find other organizations like that, what, and they have surveys like this, where does that rank among others, if you kind of broaden the lens to it? When you're part of, like, for every one of you, there's eight of them. Now, again, it doesn't forgive the behavior, but where does it rank relative to other things? Story in Stars and Stripes, a member of the U.S. military killed in Afghanistan here in the last 48 hours. The Taliban's taking responsibility for that. Also, the interesting study about getting paid too much, but we'll have to talk about that maybe later. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Chris Cox is going to join us here on a Tuesday, and we're going to talk about the holidays and losing weight. What does he do? More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder.